Welcome to the podcast of Revival Life Church, a spirit-filled multicultural church in Boca Raton, Florida. If you'd like more information about Revival Life Church or Pastor Carl Thomas, find us on the web at revivallifechurch.org.
We are in our Testify series. I'm having a good time with it. You having a good time with it? You know, at the end of worship, we said, you know, tell somebody you got a testimony. And we really mean that. And I don't mean the people in this room. Ask your neighbor if they're here this morning. Tell your neighbor, he's got a good word right now. Go ahead and listen. Listen, you got to tell somebody your testimony. And I don't just mean the people in this room. We don't need to be a group of people just patting each other on the back all day long. I've been in, I'm going down a road that I didn't want to go on this morning. I've been in prophetic churches. And the only people that prophesy is over each other. And everybody's got 500 prophetic words about how great they're going to be. Nobody's doing anything for Jesus. They just want to collect more prophetic words. I don't want to collect prophetic words. I want to collect souls. I don't want to have a bookcase full of prophetic words. I want a bookcase full of the map of the cities that we've transformed. And the only way you do that is by telling somebody outside of this room about what Jesus is doing. Are you with me? The only way we're going to do it is to touch this world with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, here's what's so cool about God. He told us to do it, but he made it very simple. Say simple. He made it very simple to obey him. He brought us, like the song said, under the reign of grace. And in this reign of grace, it means, let me give you the Cliff Notes version of what the reign of grace means. It means that Jesus did all the work. And we get all the benefits. That's what the reign of grace is. Amen? Under the law, we had a lot of work to do, and we got very little benefit for it. Under grace, he does all the work, we get all the benefits. You don't believe me? That's all right. I'll just receive it. Work out your salvation. I'll just receive it from Christ. Try to earn it. No thanks. Try to earn your healing. I'll just receive it from Jesus. I'll just receive my prosperity from Christ. Just obey God and receive the benefits. That's all we got to do. Obey Jesus and receive the benefits. I think it's a very good plan. I signed up for it. I said, put my name on the dotted line, Jesus. I'll receive the offer that you're giving me today. Act fast. Do not wait for a limited time only, because once you die, it's over. I signed up for it. He said, but wait, there's more. Not only do you get salvation, you get healing. I said, give me some of that. He said, but wait, there's more. Not only do you get salvation and healing, you get prosperity. I said, amen, sign me up. He said, but wait, there's more. There's salvation, there's healing, there's prosperity, there's deliverance. I said, yes, give me some of that too, but wait, there's more. He said, not only will you get prosperity and healing and deliverance and salvation, but you'll be an overcomer. I said, oh, yes, give me some of that. He said, but wait, there's more. He said, not only will you receive, but now, but in the age to come. I said, amen, sign me up. I'm on that team. Can you say hallelujah to Jesus? I want some of that. How about you? I want some of that. How about you? He's like, all you got to do is tell a friend. I was like, all right, sign me up. I could do that. I could tell somebody about what God did. Like, do I have to get them saved? Nope. No, you don't have to get them saved. Do I have to get them delivered? Nope. Sure don't, because I am the deliverer, Jesus said. Do I have to get them healed? Nope. I'll go ahead and heal them because I am the healer. Come on, this is good word right here. This is good word right here. All right, I'll get into that in a second. 1 Chronicles chapter 16. This is a good word right here. I want to encourage some of you. I was very encouraged by this scripture. In this scripture, David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into the camp. And he didn't have a temple for it. They had not built the temple yet. As a matter of fact, all they had was a tent. Now, I want you to think about this. The Ark of the Covenant, God, the creator of heaven and earth, think about this, the one God who created everything. And there's a, people who think they're clever like to say things like, oh, well, every religion thinks they have the truth. Well, maybe that's true, but one of them's right. One of them has to be right, or there is no truth. Right? One of them has to be right, and I'm just glad that I found it. Let me say it this way. I'm just glad he found me. Because he wasn't lost, I was lost. And so this God, who by his words spoke everything into existence, everything, knows me. It's pretty awesome. And finally, he had these people roaming the earth in sin, and he chose one people group to display his character through. He chose the Jews. For whatever reason, he did what he did. The Bible kind of talks about why he picked Abraham, but that's not really important right now. And these people began to grow in number. And God decided to manifest himself to them. As time went on, he showed them what was in heaven and asked them to build a replica on the earth. That's like the very first beginnings of God getting a foothold back on the planet. Okay, so they built this ark where the presence of God would dwell, would come and dwell at the ark, which is fairly awesome. And so you might think to yourself, what could we possibly build for God, for a place for him to be housed on this planet? Can you think about if we were going to build a house for the mayor of Boca Raton? What do you think the house would look like? You think we'd build an apartment building? We were walking back from the football game, and we walked by the house of the president of Florida Atlantic University. Anybody seen that house? It's very large, yeah? And that's just somebody who runs a school. Right? There's what? How many universities are in Boca? There's at least two. There's just in this city. There's Palm Beach State, there's FAU, there's Lynn, and just one of them has a mansion, the president of one of them. Think of how many schools are in Florida, and if we said the president of all the schools, then you would think their house is even bigger, right? Yeah. Imagine what the governor's mansion looks like. And he's just running one little state in a country that has 50 states, and then there's, what, 190 countries in the planet? And he's got to be. So you think about the White House where the president lives, kind of big. Well, clearly our God who made more than that would be bigger than that, right? What about the president of Russia? What about one of these Saudi sheiks? And they have these massive, beautiful palaces. And you think, what if someone ran the entire planet? That'd be pretty big, right? Now, what if they ran our solar system? How big a house for someone who runs a solar system? You see where I'm going with this, right? Think about the person who runs the Milky Way galaxy. How many stars are in the Milky Way? A million or some crazy number like that? So there's a million solar systems. How big? So what about the God of everything? How about the God of everything decided to build a house on our planet? Random, right? Totally random? The God of everything built a house on our planet? And what's it look like? Here's what's amazing about this. You can disqualify yourself because of what you've attained in this life this far. You could say, I've messed up too much for God to use me. I don't have enough education. I've committed too many offenses. I've done too many things wrong. God told me to stop doing bad things, but I kept doing them. I've been disqualified. I don't have the stuff around me to serve God. I don't have enough money. You might say, I barely got enough money to pay my bills. Corey just gave a testimony about that today. He just kind of destroyed your excuse for not giving. He just destroyed it. But you might say, I've committed too much sin. Come, go get my testimony online. That will be destroyed, that excuse. Completely destroyed. I don't have a big enough house. I don't have enough stature in the city. So God came and built his house, and they built the Ark of the Covenant, and they brought this thing into, ready for this? A tent. The God of all creation asked the people, he said, this is all you got. You're wandering. You don't even have a place. I will make myself at home in whatever you got. If you just make room for me, hear me, you make room for me, and I will live where you make me room. Come on, that's good news right there. You're like, I just got an apartment. He's like, good, just sanctify a little bit of that, and I'll come move in. We only got one kid. You dedicate that child to me, and watch what happens in your life. Well, I just got saved a week ago. You give one of those days of the week to me, and watch what I do. They just had a tent. All they had was a tent, and they brought the ark of the Lord in, and he came. The people didn't even have their own nation yet. Wandering in the desert. Just give me some room and watch how this is our God. This is how awesome he is. He could demand all kind of natural stuff from us, but he doesn't. This is beyond my ability to comprehend, but I know it to be the truth because I've seen it in my life. I've seen when you give God a little bit of room, he'll move in and take it. He'll move in and take it. You know, it's been my wife's prayer for years now. When we would pray for this church and we would pray for where we're going as a people group, she would just say, you know, we just want to make a place for God to come. And what was your exact word? We just want to make a place where God could come and move, right? We just want to make a place for Him to come and dwell. We just want to create a place for Him to come and feel at liberty. And I think, you know, I just want to call down fire. But she's like, we just want to make a place where He can come and move and He can dwell and He can display His goodness to people's lives. And here's the Jews, they just said, listen, we don't have everything figured out. We don't know everything. If anybody's been making mistakes, it's them. God will give them instructions and they would mess it up. And I don't have time to go through all of it, but you can just believe me on that one. They would just time and again mess up. And yet and still, here they are bringing the covenant back into their tent. Like, we've not done things well, but we have a tent, and we're going to dedicate that to God, and we're going to bring the presence of God in. And sure enough, they dedicated it to Him, and He came. I want to talk about what their prayer was after they brought it in. So if you've got a Bible, and you're in 1 Chronicles chapter 16, I want to encourage you to bring your Bible, whether it be on your phone or on your tablet or actually written on paper, which is kind of a novel idea these days. I want to encourage you to bring it and just read along with us. We have the scriptures up there. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, different covenant. 1 Chronicles 16, we're starting verse 8. You there? You feeling good? You ready to party tonight, those of you who are coming? I'm ready to party. You have a skit? Well, it's going to be an exciting skit tonight. Starting in verse 8. You ready? I love you guys, you know that? You guys rock. My wife and I, we pray for you all, and we're just so excited. Can I just be honest for a second? I'm just thankful I get to be a part of this church. I'm thankful. Like, I'm just like, you know, I know pastors who pastor churches they don't even want to belong to. It's true. They're like, I'm glad I'm paid to be here. I mean, I like you. Mostly. Hey, and if you're here, I like you because I've prayed out the people I don't like. So, First Chronicles chapter 16, starting in verse 8. Gosh, bring it in, Carl. Bring it in. Oh, give thanks to the Lord. Call upon His name. Make known His deeds among the peoples. Verse 9. Sing to Him. Sing praises to Him. Speak of all His wonders. Glory in His holy name. Let the heart of those who seek the Lord be glad. Seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face continually. Remember His wondrous deeds which He has done, His marvels and the judgments from His mouth. Can you say amen? We have some really clear instructions from the Lord right here in this scripture. And I just want to expound upon them a minute. I want to encourage you and I want to challenge you a little bit here in this Christmas season. If I could. There's a prayer that goes around at times that seems godly, but it's unbiblical. And it goes something like this. Lord, we don't seek Your hand, we only seek Your face. We don't seek You for what You can do for us, we just want You, God. And that's to say that when God shows up, He's not going to do anything. Like He's some sort of absentee father who's going to come home and sit on the couch and watch TV, and we should be happy about that. This kind of prayer, while sounding godly, is not biblical because it denies the goodness of God. It denies the goodness of God's nature. And it sounds like, you know, God, I don't want You for my own good. I just want You, I don't know why I want You, but I know I'm supposed to. And so I'm just going to, it sounds, you know, less of me, God, and more of You. Now, if He lives in me, wouldn't less of me be less of Him? I want more of the real me, and I only get that through Him. Jesus, come and reveal more of the real me, because I'm called to reflect Your nature. I don't hate me. I love me. I'm made in His image. I want more of me, the real me, not the lying me, not the me that the enemy is creating, but the real me that was created in the mind of God before I was ever born on the earth, the me that He spoke into existence, the me that He said, I have a future and a plan and a hope. Wouldn't less of me be less of the future plan and hope of me? Don't you think God has a plan for your life on this earth and less of you means less of that plan? No, no, the truth is God wants more of you. He wants more. Consumed by Him and multiplying and growing. As a matter of fact, He likes you so much, He sent you in the earth and said, hey, not only do I love you, I want you to multiply. I want to multiply you. Now, how can we believe in the multiplication if we say less of us? Multiply is not just addition, not just like one more. We're talking about we need multiples here. We can't count quick enough. You got to multiply it to get there. God created you in His image. You're good. It's good. Come, that's a good word right there. Need more of you. But I want to show you in this scripture. I want to kind of debunk that a little bit again in this scripture and then encourage you. Let's look at this. 1 Chronicles chapter 16, verse 8. What does he say? He says, make known what? His deeds. That's the stuff he did. Not just what his face looks like. Make known his deeds. That's the doing stuff. Look at this. Verse 9. Speak of all his wonders. He's got to do something to make you wonder, doesn't he? Got to speak something. Got to do something. He can't just stand there. Oh, I wonder what he's going to do. That's not the wonders they're talking about. I wonder why he's here. No. Man, he did something. I don't understand. That's a wonder. I'm going to tell some folk. That's what he's saying. He's like, tell folk. Verse 11. Ready? Seek the Lord. Just your face, Lord. And his strength. Right there, that debunks seek his face and not his hand. Unless he's got a strong face. And I don't know what that... That's the stank eye. You don't got a stank eye. He's talking about he wants to display his strength in your life. You hear what I'm telling you? Does anybody hear what I'm saying right now? Are you with me on this at all? Are you believing that the Lord not only wants to display his nature, he wants to display his strength in your life? And if he tells you, I want you to tell people about what I've done, doesn't it stand to reason that he's got to do something for you to tell people about it? Because God doesn't want you to make stuff up. He doesn't need you to make stuff up. He doesn't need you to lie about. There was a famous preacher, I don't know, about 10 years ago. And he was really growing a very large ministry. And he would give the testimony about how he was in the mafia and how God rescued him and how he began to see healings and God saved his life and got him out of jail. And it was an amazing testimony, except it was all fake. It was just a lie. And he was making money off this testimony. And God doesn't need that. I don't know about you, but I was encouraged by these testimonies this morning. I was encouraged. I feel like if you just told somebody who didn't know God these stories, there's no way they could say, no, he didn't. I mean, what's someone going to say? You don't have to make things up. I want to talk to you real briefly. Since Jesus right here told us, he says, make known his deeds among the peoples. Speak of all his wonders. Seek the Lord and his strength. God is expecting you to tell people about what he's done in your life. Let me say it again. God is expecting you to tell people about what he has done in your life. He does not say here, make people believe it. He doesn't say, argue with people who disagree. He doesn't say, stop being their friends if they don't want the same thing. As a matter of fact, all he says is just tell people what I do. I'll tell you what I'll do. I will do stuff, and all you got to do is tell people about it. Well, what if they don't like me? We'll talk about that in a minute. But I want to talk to you real briefly about, before I get into the meat of the message, I want to talk to you a little bit about how to give your testimony. How to share your testimony. And I hope you're taking notes. If you're like, if you're out there winning souls every day, you can kind of check out for a minute. If you're not, pay attention, please. Because God is expecting you to respond to his grace. God has a plan to change the earth. And guess what? It's you. He's got no plan B. When people say, you know, God, come. And no, I sent you. I don't need to go. I sent you. All right, we're going to plow here a little bit. I'm willing to plow. I'm willing to plow, Kevin. I'm willing just to go in and plow here a little bit. Let me give you a very small example. Sam Reynoso is right now in charge of the signs of this church. Anybody see the signs coming in? It's cool, right? I met people who don't go to this church, live in this neighborhood. They know our signs. I had nothing to do with the signs being put up. Absolutely nothing. And so when people come to me and they talk to me about the signs, you know what I say? I got nothing to do with that. Someone else is in charge of that. Talk to them. Right now, Sarah Pagano is our revival kid, our children's ministry director. And someone says, hey, Pastor, I have an idea about check-in at children's ministry. I'm like, that's awesome. Don't tell it to me because I don't have anything to do with that. You want to talk to Sarah Pagano because she's in charge of it. Are you with me? You following where I'm going here? We have pre-service intercession, which I was a part of this morning, which I thought was amazing. I don't know. Right back there. I have nothing to do with it. I just show up and it's set up and there's people praying very loudly. Hallelujah. And someone said, hey, Pastor, I have some ideas. I said, guess what? Don't tell me about it. I have somebody in charge of that. So when we tell God to do things on the earth that he told us to do, it's a little silly. It's like when you go to work and you tell your boss about what should happen in the job that you're getting paid to do. There's a janitor in this school, and they clean the floors. And imagine if they went to the principal and they said, hey, principal, the floors in the cafeteria are dirty. And they'd say, I pay you. Why are you telling me I'm paying you? Well, Jesus sent you to change the earth. And he said, I will strengthen you to do it. And yet, in so many prayer meetings that people are trying to ask God to do stuff that he told us to do. Here we are sitting in the church in a little bubble asking God to touch the world that he sent us to touch. It's like, what? He's like, okay, you know how you came in the door? That'll let you out. To the neighborhood that you're praying for right now that you can go reach. Stop asking me to do the thing that I sent you to do. Now, I hope before you do it, you pray. And I hope you seek God, and I hope you hear his face, and I hope you're on your face, and I hope you get his heart for it. And yes, prayer is important, and talking to God about it is important. But when you pray to God to change a neighborhood, the first person he's going to touch is you. Man, y'all, come on now. I think this is good stuff right here. We're going to talk a little bit about how to do this thing that he told us to do. For most of us, all he told you to do is tell people about him. All you got to do is tell people about him. Can you say amen? All he said was to tell people about him. Here's a couple tips I want to give you. Number one, don't lie. Don't lie. You would think that everybody in the church was a felon and killed 12 people and were addicted to heroin when you listen to some. And it's just not true. Don't weird people out with your testimony. That's not necessary. Don't think of the most vile thing you ever did and tell strangers. Anybody have that happen to you before you got saved? I'd be there and somebody like, and then I slept with 12 guys I didn't know. I'm like, good God, who does that? I'm glad you're in church. I don't do that. Don't be weird. Don't lie. Don't make stuff up. It's not necessary. God doesn't need it. You know how many people in this planet are dealing with depression? You know how many people feel lonely? You know the great evangelist Billy Graham. Have you ever heard him preach? You know what he talks about? He preaches and he says, when I met Jesus, I gained a new capacity to love. That's the big of his testimony. I gained a new capacity to love. You know what? It's hard for many people to love because they're scared. They're scared that somebody will get over on them, so they're constantly punishing the people in their lives every time they get scared. And if you have a new capacity to love, your life will be radically transformed. And if that's what God gave you, tell people that. You know what the greatest testimony on the planet is? I walk with Jesus all the days of my life. I don't want my kids to think that they got to become, you know, lost in order to serve Jesus. And I don't really have a testimony. Oh, did God do anything in your life? Well, not really. I just walk with him. Well, that's a testimony right there. He preserved you. Hallelujah. Tell somebody about it. You might have just been lost and just be like, man, I don't have a purpose in life. And now I have purpose. And God gave it to me. That's a testimony. Because most of this planet is walking around trying to gain a friend, trying to make money, trying to feel important. And Jesus comes along and says, guess what? I got a purpose for you. Sign me up. Amen? Okay, so don't lie. Don't exaggerate. Can I say it again? Don't exaggerate. If you got in one fist fight, don't tell people you should do drive-bys. That's not necessary. If you knew somebody in a gang, don't say you were a gangster. Don't do that. Don't do that. If you went to a club once and God convicted you and you never went back, don't say you used to get drunk every night. God doesn't need it. I have a good friend that every time he tells his testimony, I tell people he's lying because there's just no way that that testimony is true. We'll talk about it in premarital counseling. We'll talk about it in premarital counseling, Andres. You know, I often have to correct people on my testimony because somehow they think I'm something. I'm like, no, that's, no. I wasn't that bad. Like, I was a rotten sinner, but no, I didn't do those things. That, I don't know where that came from. Had I done it, I would tell you, but I wasn't bold enough to be that sinner. I was too scared to be in that much sin. That's just the truth, and now I'm not scared. If I were a sinner now, I could do it, but I'm not, so this is my testimony. Are you with me? You don't have to lie. You don't have to exaggerate. You just be you, because people can relate to that, because the majority of people on the planet are not running crime syndicates and aren't, you know, sleeping with the whole world. You know, that's not going to relate to most people. Yeah, you know, get your oohs and ahs, but it doesn't serve Christ. Most people are dealing with the exact thing you're dealing with right now or what you dealt with before you got saved. All you got to do is tell people what God did for you. Amen? And number three, tell your story. This whole book, this whole Bible, they call it the Handbook for Living. I don't know about that exactly, but this is all stories. This is just a large compilation of stories of people's interaction with God. That's all this is. It's people telling their God story. Now, your God story is not equal with the scripture for everybody, but it is for you. What God has done for you is every bit as valid as what he did for anybody else in this book. And when you share that story of what God did in your life, it carries the same presence on it that came and transformed your life. Do you get that? When the power of God came and touched you, has anybody been touched by God in this house? Has anybody experienced Jesus? Hallelujah. Come on, no, give him thanks. Has anybody in here had God come and invade their circumstance? Hallelujah. Did not leave you in the midst of your sin. Said, I know you're messed up, but I'm coming to bless you anyways. Anybody in here has had God do that? Come on. Yeah. As you meditate on that, come on, yeah, give him thanks. Yeah. Yeah, when you begin thinking about that, that same presence is on it. And when you tell it to somebody, the same anointing is on it. You only got to lie when you try to create your own anointing. But when you just tell the story, it's his anointing you're spreading right there. That's all you got to do is tell what God did. And so here's all you got to do. Here's how you tell your story. Ready? You tell people what happened before you met him. Then you tell them how you experience him. And then you tell them about after you experience him. My son, and this isn't even my testimony, my son got healed of allergies. And I would love to be able to say, you know, one day the anointing came upon me as the mond of gold. And I rose up and I prophesied, thus saith thee to thee, my boy, fruit of my groin, the Lord has sanctified thee today. And thus the anointing of the Most High One is upon you. And then he was healed. I'd love to say that, but it's just not true. People are like, your son has allergies, right? I was like, he used to. He used to have allergies really bad. And every time I experienced God, I'd pray for him. Every single time. And one day we took him to the allergist, and they tested him again, and his allergies were gone. I don't know when it happened, but I know Jesus healed him. Come on, amen. Now, you might be like, that's not that exciting unless you have allergies. And if you got allergies, that's exciting. The great testimonies, I want you to hear this, just like the great prophecies, they minimize the person and they magnify Christ. Let me say it again. The good testimonies are like the good prophecies. They minimize the deliverer and they glorify Christ. See, I can't take any credit for my son getting healed. His mom and I prayed for him every single time. The anointing would come in the room when we remember it, let me be honest, every time we remembered. We'd pray for him, and then one day he was healed. But God did the healing. The credit goes to Jesus. And I tell that to people, and the Holy Ghost can confirm it. People, there's someone right now that you're beginning to get warm as soon as I told that story. That's healing anointing moving in the house right now. I feel it right now. It's coming right over your face right now. There's heat coming through the house right now. God is healing right now. Wow, that's very good. I feel it right now. Woo. Ah. And so you say, what happens, Pastor, if I tell the story and you know, I don't know what to say after that. What do I do? Because they're gonna question me and you get nervous, right? I know what that's like. You think, oh, I'm going to witness to this person. And all of a sudden you get scared. Okay, I'm going to say this. And then he's going to say that, and then I'm going to say this. And then he might say this, but then I'm going to say this. You don't have to do that. Matthew chapter 10, verse 19. A little promise of Jesus says, when they hand you over, and that's our little version of it, you know, a little persecution. When they hand you over, don't worry about how or what you're going to say. For it'll be given to you in that hour what you are to say. For it is not you who speak, but it is the Spirit of your Father who speaks in you. This is a promise from God. You got to get yourself in some circumstances that you're not going to know what to say in order for Him to speak for you. Let me say it this way. You got to get out of the boat to walk on water. The only way He teaches you is by you being in circumstances that you need His presence. That's it. That's the only way to do it. The only way to learn how to win people is to evangelize. The only way to learn how to heal people is to pray for people who are sick. There's just no other way. It's just, there's no other way to do it. And so you're going to have to just tell your story, and if people ask you a question, you just have to believe that God would only put you in circumstances He's given you an anointing for. It's true. We talk about this. You start witnessing and you say things that you never thought you knew. You're like, good God, that was good. But then you've just gained more of Christ. That's a good word. I like that. I want to grow in the knowledge of God. How about you? I want to grow in the anointing. How about you? And the only way to grow in the anointing is to get around the anointing. The only way to grow in ministering the anointing is to minister and trust the anointing will be there. We're changing our family fire night. We're no longer having family fire nights. Family fire was great. It was when we had a location that only our family could fit in. And we changed it. We're talking to some people. And we're now calling it our Encounter God services. Because that's the point. It's to encounter God. And you got to get around some people who know how to encounter God to learn how to encounter God. Otherwise, you got to get out alone and scream a lot and wait for Him to come. I'd rather just get around somebody who's carrying Him and just get some of it on me. I like to get around the anointing that I want. And we have the anointing in many people in this house. And you just need to get around that anointing, that boldness. If you're new to Christ and you don't have a lot of Christian friends, I want to challenge you on two things. Figure out how to get around some Christians, number one. And the easiest way is to go to meetings. Our Encounter God services. You want to learn how to pray, you come to Tuesday morning prayer or intercession before service. You want to get in our Friday night intercession, which is our Encounter God on Friday nights, and we cry out from our encounters. Or you go to a life group. You just would get around some people. And number two, you got to bring some people to church. You don't got to fix them. You don't got to pastor them. You don't got to get them delivered. You just got to bring them. Pretty simple, right? It's a lot easier to walk this thing out with a friend. And I have found when your friends start getting saved, you stop backsliding around them. And you're like, well, what if they don't like me anymore? Then you stop backsliding around them again. You with me? You just say, listen, I'm going to church on Sunday. You want to come? I'll bring some coffee. What flavor you like? You'd be amazed how many people actually want to encounter God but are waiting for you to invite them. They're just waiting. Just waiting for somebody. I remember when we were in, when I was in Brazil, we were walking down the street and we met this girl, and she had been studying English, and so we were talking to her in English a little bit, and I'm like, now here I am in Brazil, met a girl trying to speak English. This has got to be Jesus. And so, you know, I'm with some other ministers, but I'm like, you know, I'm not going to let this moment pass me by. So I share the gospel with her, and I said, you know, would you like to receive Christ? You know what she said to me? I've been waiting for this my entire life. We're a block from a massive church. I've been waiting for this my entire life. I don't know about you. You remember when you got saved? Were you happy? Do you think other people might like to be happy? We're like, oh, they might not like me. I'll just let them go to hell. At least give them a choice. At least bring them to church and give them a choice, right? So many people, if you just give them an opportunity. I remember before I got saved, now I didn't grow up in church, so I didn't know anything. And I remember you would meet somebody who actually knew God, and it was like a foreign language because they spoke with such confidence about Him. And it would, like, my soul would just, like, drink that in because I just so desired that, but I had no way to get it. There's no way at all to get it. We have friends and family who need the gospel. They need it. Now, they don't need you to be their pastor. They don't need you to be their boss. They don't need you to be their Holy Spirit, telling them what they're doing right, what they're doing wrong. They just need somebody to be a bridge from lost to saved. Amen? They just need somebody to give them an open door to come and meet Jesus. And God is expecting us to do that. He told us, tell people about what I've done. I'm not trying to beat you on the head about evangelism. I'm not trying to tell you to grow a church. I'm telling you, you want more of Jesus? Start giving away what you got. I want more. But do you need more? If you're not using what you got, you don't need more. I want to live on the very, very edge of what I got. I want to be so given away. I want him to need to assign new angels to me who got bigger cups to fill me up more because I'm pouring out so much. I want my name to be on like a big map in heaven that says, okay, we're delivering the anointing today, but make sure you hit Boca because they're using what we give them. I know over here is stale. I will just get some of that stale oil from over there. Send it to Boca because I know they'll mix it up and they'll use it. I want them to say, listen, that guy who just moved to East Boca from Del Rey, there's something going on in his yard there. Get him right there. Pour it out on his house because he's got a neighborhood he's trying to affect. Come on, do you? I'm like, Lord, I need some new angels. Come on, Jesus, because what I got ain't enough. I need a bigger assignment, Lord. What's happening? I'm not asking to fill my cup. I'm saying, give me a bigger cup, Jesus, because I'm going to pour it out. Who knows what I'm talking about? Who knows what I'm talking about? Come on, I want more. I want more. I want more. Who wants more? I'm greedy like I don't know what. I want more. I want more, Jesus. I want more. Come on, you got to have a holy hunger that says, I'm not satisfied with just going to church. I need more. Heaven, I need more. I ain't embarrassed to say it. Glory to Jesus. I ain't embarrassed to say it. I need more. I need more, Mike. I need more. I want everything you got. I want all of it. All of it. I'm playing instruments. You think I'm a gifted musician? No, of course you don't, because I'm not. But I know there's an anointing on doing that, so I'm doing it to get the anointing. Come on. I remember I stood with three dudes, and I said, listen, I bet you I'm a lead worship on guitar for any of y'all. And I did. I'm serious. I'm pulling on heaven. I'm playing guitar. I'm like, Jesus, you better anoint this or you're going to be embarrassed. I know you don't want to be embarrassed. You better get on this thing. I'm tapping into wells that aren't even meant for me. I don't care. I want the anointing. I was like, man, Lord, you ain't anointed me to heal nobody. I'm going to just do it without you. You better show up or you're going to be embarrassed. Heal him, Jesus. You feel anything? Nope. Lord, he don't feel nothing. He don't feel nothing, Jesus. Your word says he'd be healed. How you feel now? Healed? All right, then. Let's do this. Y'all getting anything out of this? I hope you feel encouraged. I hope some waitresses get saved today. I don't know what Boca Dunes thought was coming. I think there's a wedding going to be there. Oh, there's going to be a wedding. Bridegroom going to receive his bride. Remember John chapter 9? I preached it a couple weeks ago. And the dude who got healed, and all the religious folk, remember they were like, what happened? He's like, okay, dude came, spit on some dirt, rubbed it on me, and then I washed it off and was healed. And they're like, yeah, okay. No, but what really happened? And they're like, no, that's it. Okay, let's ask his parents. What happened? He got healed. Ask him. That ain't good. What happened? He's like, I told you what happened. You see, what God does is so simple. It's just so simple. The world won't believe it. They're like, oh, so you did all that sinning, you just go to heaven? You're like, yeah, pretty much that's just it. What about all these good people? They may not go, but you will? Yeah, that's pretty much it right there. Yeah, it's his house, and he only invites his friends. And so that's how it goes right there. I don't know what to tell you. Do you want to meet him? And that's what it says in John 9:27. They're like, hey, you want to meet him too? Because you're asking so many questions. It's probably because you want to meet him, but you don't know it. Do you just want to meet him? You just tell people about what he did for you. You just be like, hey, guess what? You just want to meet him. I know where he hangs out. I've been in the tent that his presence is in. Oh, where's your church building? Oh, Boca Middle. Boca Mill. Oh, you don't got one of them big church buildings? Oh, no, just like the Israelis. Just, you know, they got that tent that the presence would come, the only place on the planet. We got it right here, Boca Middle. We got a tent. We set up the tent. Come on now. Come on. We set up the tent. We put up the little walls here. We dent the lights, and we say, Jesus, just come with your spirit right here. You know why we don't need a building right now? Because we don't need him to dwell right here. We need him to go with us outside the tent into the world. I don't need him here Tuesday morning. I need him at the office Tuesday morning. I don't need him here on Wednesday night. I need him in my living room on Wednesday night. Come on. I don't need him in a building. I need him in the world. Come on. And that's why we don't live here. It's why we live out there. Oh, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, okay, I'm going to finish with this. Have you found it hard to keep this anointing out through the week? Have you ever been like, man, I need to get back to church because I'm barely making it through the week? Go ahead, Matthew 28, if you would, for me, please. All right, we're almost done. Get ready, Mike. Not yet, though. Just get ready. Are you there yet, Matthew 28? Verse 16. He says that the 11 disciples proceeded to Galilee, to the mountain which Jesus had designated. When they saw him, I could stop right there. Tell me where you at, Jesus. I'll go to the mountain. When they saw him, they worshipped him, but some were doubtful. Dummy. But some were doubtful. I have a dad joke I want to give. I'm trying to not do it. Verse 18. And Jesus came up and spoke to them, saying, come, Mike. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Verse 20. Teaching them to observe all that I command you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Do you want Jesus with you? He said, if you go, I'll be with you. I don't know if you saw that. If you go, I'm with you. Go, I'm with you. Go. He didn't say, stay, I'll be with you. Go. Do you want more of him? I want more. You get the more by going. Do you hear what I'm telling you? Stand with me. You get the more by going. I want to pray right now. I want to pray, and here's what I want to pray. I got it. Here's what I want to pray. I want to pray that you have boldness and confidence. Some of you are just fearful that you're not going to have the right words, that people are not going to be nice to you, blah, blah, blah. I want to pray that you receive confidence and boldness in that moment, and that you'll take bold steps of faith to share your testimony with somebody before we gather again. Position yourself to receive. Father, Diane, come up with me. Father, in the name of Jesus. Ha! Yeah. Ha! Father. Ha! First of all, Father, I pray that you would just reveal your love to these people right now. That you didn't tell us to share our testimony to earn something. That you've already fully accepted us. We're fully accepted. We're fully accepted. We're fully loved. Fully loved. But Father, you want to equip us to do something. And Father, you paid for this world with the blood of your Son. And Lord, we want to bring to you what you paid for. The nations, Lord. The nations. Right now, in the name of Jesus. Wow. Can you turn him down just a little bit on the stage? Jesus. Yeah, to put them in the mains a little bit. Jesus, right now. Father, I ask right now in the name of Jesus that you would begin to anoint those that you have called. I just feel like the Lord is going to anoint some missionaries right now. And some of you are going to go overseas, but some of you are missionaries right here. I feel like there's some of you right now that the anointing on Diane is going to multiply on some people right now. Ooh, I feel it right now. Father, right now, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, that your anointing would fall. That you would send your angel right now, Lord. And you begin to walk through the room and you would pour it out. Reba. Shete ba kalaba. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Come, Holy Ghost. Right now. Come, Holy Ghost, right now. The fire of the Holy Ghost. The fire of the Holy Ghost. Now listen, some of you are being touched right now, and there is a price you're going to have to pay for this anointing. This isn't for everybody right now. I'm going to bless everybody in the room who wants to be blessed. But right now, there's a sovereign moment, and there's some of you right now who are being anointed for this. And he's giving you a moment to say yes or no. Are you willing to pay the price of what it's going to take to be separated to God for the work of the gospel? Make a decision. Jesus is setting priorities right now. He brought you here for a reason. If he anoints you in this house, it's for a reason, not so you can run around doing whatever you feel like doing. And now I'm going to ask Jesus, for those who said yes, that you would turn it up right now. That you would turn it up, Jesus. You would turn it up right now, Jesus. That you would turn it up right now, Jesus. You would turn it up right now, Jesus. That your fire would fall upon them. Right now! Your fire would fall in the room right now, Jesus. Anoint your minister, Lord. Anoint their tongue, Jesus, right now. Fire the Holy Ghost. Fire the Holy Ghost. Fire the Holy Ghost. That's not what I planned, but if Jesus is talking to you, here's what I want you to do. It's up to you. I want you to come kneel at this altar. I'm not even going to pray for you because Jesus is already doing it. Just come kneel at this altar and just consecrate yourself to Jesus. Sheba. Raymond Tafa Teveke. Wow. Hey! Pour it out, Lord, right now. Remonta fandende fekete arama sundande bakura montate felehala hataka asabobonda aliete sendeve kate bakunta woyeba lemba. Let them be singular in purpose, Jesus. Come on, stretch your hands, church. Singular in purpose, Jesus. They would not be deterred. They would not turn back. They would not turn back. They'd be focused on you and your church, Jesus. The fire of the Holy Ghost.
yes, Jesus. Jesus. Come on, just pray, church. We're going to pray him through right now. We're going to pray him through.
Ha!
The anointing of the Holy One upon you right now. The anointing of the Holy One upon you right now. The anointing of the Holy One upon you. The anointing of the Holy One upon you right now. The anointing of the Holy One. This is a sovereign moment. Hey! This is a sovereign moment right now. This is a sovereign moment right now. This wasn't on our calendar, but it was on the Lord's calendar. This wasn't even part of my message. Listen. Keep praying. Christmas service. People are looking for that. You just tell them, hey, the Sunday before Christmas, why don't you just come to my church? But for those of you who know this is your call, you need to tell people your testimony. You need to share the gospel of Jesus Christ. Shamba. Those in here today, Father, that you would keep them until we gather again. And go begin to pray for the people. Just lay hands quickly on the people. Father, we love you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Listen, if you're at the altar and God is ministering to you, you just stay right here. If you're going, we love you. There'll be some people at the Next Steps table to get you connected.